Eliza Goss, thank you so much for joining us on 2SER this morning. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you, Willie?
I'm good. I would love to have you describe your style for us because I think it's quite distinct.
So I paint architecture mostly from the mid-century in Australia. So think Mission Brown, Breeze Blocks and Plastered Pools, I suppose. I studied architecture for a year at Sydney University before I transferred to National Art School. So I guess the subject matter just stuck with me.
Yeah, I was going to say that's one of my questions. Like, where does your love affair for the houses from a different era come from? Because you were born in 1995, is that correct?
Yes. I know it's an odd nostalgia that doesn't belong to me. But I don't know. There's something universal about nostalgia, I find. I wasn't alive then, but I still grew up going to motels, you know, driving on my way to Melbourne to visit family and did that whole thing. And I suppose it slipped into my nostalgia somehow.
You're very right. The motel kind of, and I think there's even actually a motel on the northern New South Wales coast. I don't know whether it's called the Sands Motel, and it's an absolute hark back to this era that you paint and capture so well. And you're right, there is something in that nostalgic of it that, I don't know, it just brings a smile to my face. I don't know if many people say that to you.
No, definitely. And I'm interested in that, you know, whether I wasn't alive in the 50s or the 60s or even the 70s, but I think it's that response that I get from people that I love so much. I love my mum and her friends and people beyond that kind of saying to me, oh gosh, I remember that. And they kind of tell you a whole story behind that particular pool or that chair that they might have had in their family home. And I just love that.
Is there an artistic gene in your family? Is anyone else creative?
My grandma was a great drawer, much more on like the floral end of things, but I definitely grew up painting, you know, native flora with her in her garden in Gosford. So yes, I definitely was taught by a family member.
Was it your mum's mum who was creative or was it your dad's mum?
My dad's mum. Yeah.
Your dad's mum. And did your dad kind of create or paint or have any hobbies or you're not sure?
He's a really good drawer, really good, but he just would never do it. You know, he might kind of doodle every now and then, but it's not something he's ever pursued.
And how do they feel knowing that's what you're pursuing?
Love it. I mean, they were always supportive from the beginning, like go to art school, great, quit architecture. I was like, great. You know, obviously there was a lot of other people in the family that were a bit like, well, what are you going to do with an art degree? The classic, but mum and dad were always like, that's awesome.
And can you remember a piece of artwork that you first saw by someone else that really spoke to you or stuck with you?
I think a big one, which is probably obvious with my work, is Howard Arkley. I saw his Fabricated Rooms, which actually showed in 1997 at the Archive of New South Wales and was later in the Venice Biennale in 1999. And it's 13 canvases stuck together or up against each other. And it's an interior that stretches across three walls in a U shape. And it's these fun patterns and very 50s, 60s kind of carpets and curtains that all are strung together in this large interior. And you almost feel enveloped inside the interior. So I love that work. And I think I studied it in school or something. And after that, I love those kind of bold shapes and putting patterns together and things like that.
Do you remember the first piece you sold?
The first piece was in my first year at art school. I sold a drawing that I did. It was like a really realistic sketch of the town hall in Sydney.
And how did you feel when you sold it?
Oh, it was great. It was awesome. I think they offered me like $50 and I was like, yes, take it. This drawing had taken me probably a month. But it was awesome.
Yeah. When did you start calling yourself an artist?
I guess like going to art school definitely validates that for you. It probably happened around second year. They just say like you're an artist, like you're painting or your drawings, and therefore you are. And then I think it was probably in third year that I actually started to sell some paintings here and there, and I've been doing it ever since.
Yeah, right. And so you graduated in 2017, is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, I did. And then I had a show at St. Cloche in Paddington, and I went on to do my master's at NASS as well.
And you've had like a great run since graduating of art prize finalists, and you've even had a couple of wins. Like how has that helped you early on in your career?
It's been amazing. I mean, it's been a crazy, crazy, I guess, 3 or 4 years of just great opportunities. It literally shocks me every day. Like the fact that I'm sitting in a studio doing this full time is insane. It's great. I feel very lucky.
It's a really fabulous thing, I think. And it's great that you are getting the kind of, I don't want to say external recognition, because, you know, you don't want to create based purely on external recognition, right? But
yeah,
there's something about having those wins or even being in those finalists that just gives you that kind of, okay, cool, yeah, this is my thing.
Exactly, because you constantly are questioning, like, it, you know, the minute I finish a painting, and I do always know when it's done, but you really do look at it and you're like, is that really bad or is it amazing? I don't know. It's easily one or the other. Like, I have to do the weirdest thing where I actually, if I take a photo of it and look at it 2D, like flat on a phone, like sometimes I can tell more. I think it's because I'm looking at the canvas for a month solid, that like I'm so, you know, I don't know, you know. But if I see it in another form, like through the lens of a camera, I can make a decision. It's really bizarre.
Interesting. I wonder if that just gives you a little bit of distance
seeing it through. I think so. I also find all of my favorite paintings always sell last. Always.
It's interesting. So
yeah. It's almost like I can pick what will sell first sometimes.
Yeah.
Or, you know, will be the popular one. But it's normally not my favorite.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I love brown. Other people don't. I think that's like the basis to that. I like brown. Others don't.
That is so funny. Oh, my God. And I guess then comes the like creative commercial tension, right, of painting what you know will sell. And obviously,
yeah, if
that's
I painted,
part of the yeah.
If I painted pink all day, every day, I would just be having things flying off. Like, people want pink. It's so weird. It's like pink houses don't exist, guys. Stop asking me for pink.
And if they did in your street, you'd be asking them to paint it white. So.
I know. It's so weird.
What do you do to get yourself out of a creative funk?
Creative funk. It's definitely a walk, a really long walk. I love that. I'll just go to the furthest cafe I can possibly think of. And, you know, play some good music. So I'm walking there and get thinking.
Yeah, get a bit of time away from the canvas, a bit of perspective.
Exactly, exactly.
And what is your painting routine? Do you have a studio that you go to, or are you painting from home at the moment?
I do. I'm lucky enough to have a studio, which is pretty close to where I live. So I go there I try and keep it just 5 days a week, you know, 9 to 5. Realistically, it's probably like 10:30 till 6:30. But I just try and keep normal working hours. I think that works best. And, you know, if there is a creative block, I just give myself an hour to walk or read a book in my studio and, you know, slow it down. And then, you know, I might work on the weekend or something. I'm easy on myself, but in the whole week, I like to get normal working hours done.
And how do you know when a piece is done?
I've never been one to struggle with that. It just sort of is. I'm not someone that will kind of stare at it for ages and have it on my easel for months at a time. I just feel it's done and then it gets put away.
Who's your biggest fan?
My biggest fan is definitely my mum.
Yay!
biggest fan. The first really large architectural piece that I did in this style, I was lucky enough that she actually convinced me that she must have it. I think we did some sort of great trade at the time. It might have been like some clothes or something. I don't know what it was, but it's awesome because it hangs in her house and there's that first one like kept. And after that, I haven't really kept another painting. So it's nice to have that there.
Gemma Ragsdale, who I interviewed a couple of weeks ago, she said her mother bought her, I think it was her HSC piece that she had done. And she, at the time, she was just so keen to sell it to get some money, right? And so she said it is actually really lovely now that her mum has that because, like you've just said, she can kind of, she goes home and she sees it and she reflects on it.
Yeah. And seeing that change, I mean, I think I did that painting in 2015 and to just see that shift, like I was using kind of wax medium at that point. So it's really like thick, which is just not my style at all anymore, but it's the same subject matter. It's really interesting to see where you've come from.
Yeah, I'm glad you just said that because I wanted to ask you, how do you feel your style evolves as you continue to paint?
So much. I mean, especially because I am on one particular subject matter, you kind of, it's almost like cooking, like you'll get a taste right or you'll get a pattern right and something will work in one painting and then you're like, that's great. I'm going to use that in lots of paintings now. So I think it's that. And then, you know, obviously having 5 years studying, I learned so much from teachers, things like, you know, I do an acrylic underlayer and then I paint oil paint on top. And that's awesome because I let the acrylic come through in some places. You get that scratchiness and then you have the flat oils on top. So, yeah, it's great.
So you paint an acrylic underneath. Do you paint a colour or is it just white?
No, so I'll draw up the house and then I'll paint acrylic in like the rough colours. So it'll be like a really loose, scratchy version of the painting. So it's kind of like really messy underneath and then I paint oil on top. And then I let the messiness come through in areas, which is hard to see in images or online. But if you are standing in front of my paintings in person, you can see it like underneath almost.
Who's your biggest critic?
My biggest critic? Definitely myself. You're constantly thinking, what is Eliza Goss going to think about this in 10 years? there's some paintings that you know, you do and you're like, oh, you're not going to like that. You're not gonna like yourself for that one. So I think it's absolutely me.
That's gold. CJ Hendry, she said that she reflects back and she's like, oh my god, I'm embarrassed by some of the stuff I used to do.
I used to do in my first year of art school, just to, you know, pay the bills, I did this hilarious thing called Portraits by Eliza. And I would paint watercolors. God forbid anyone still has them. I hope they've all gone in the bin. But I would paint watercolors of like people, like, and they were like Valentine presents and stuff. I don't know who was getting them, but they were really lame. And I hope like all those couples, well, this is sad, but maybe they've like broken up or something and they've all been burnt. I'm not sure, but I really don't want them to come back and haunt me.
Let's put a call out. If anyone has an Eliza Goss portrait that they were given for Valentine's Day years ago, shoot us a message. Find me on Instagram and let's have a look. Okay, last question. Where would you like to see your work take you in the next couple of years?
I would really like to expand into, I've got a show in November with Liverpool Street Gallery in Sydney. And I was chatting to them about this. I really want to expand into doing large decals. So I did one for my graduation at National Art School. And so essentially I drew up very much in my style on Photoshop and Illustrator, a drawing of an interior that kind of forms into an exterior and then dropped in colors from my paintings. And then I printed it with a billboard company into like large stickers that were stuck onto the wall. And I love that. So I'd love to, you know, maintain doing the paintings, but also expand, you know, into other mediums like decals, or I'm really, really interested in tapestries as well. I've just done a few tapestries that are based on the carpets that were found in, you know, 70s motels.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, I think it's just constantly, and this is where me in 10 years comes in as a critic. Like, I don't want to look back in 10 years and just have a series of paintings. I love paintings. It's my favorite thing to do in the world, but I want to keep pushing and you know, trying different mediums and keep experimenting is where I want to be.
Eliza, thank you so much for joining us this morning on 2SER. It was great talking to you. Hey, and if anyone does contact me with those portraits,
tell them I'll pay them to burn them.
Too funny. Have a great day.
You too, Willie. Bye.